Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Hearts were broken. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, not bad for a League One side who were set to get smashed up and down the park, according to Ewan Cameron last week. What's happening there? The Bairns are through the quarterfinals of the League Cup after more cup success against the Jambos. Hello, I am John McInally. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. And as ever, joined by the ginger god of pod, the one-man band in the main stand, king of hospitality, it's Rosspitality himself. It is Ross Wayne.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you? Good?
I am good. Now, one thing has to be learnt from the weekend's match, Ross, is that I'm taking all credit for Falkirk's win against Hearts. We all know the infamous story, or I think I've told it on this podcast, of how I missed out on the 4-0 game back in the day. Colin Samuel at the game yesterday as well, brilliant to see him. So I missed out. I missed out because I didn't realise it was an old ticket, and so did my brother. So we're both not at the match yesterday because I was in a field in Ingolstadt singing on to Ocean Colour, seeing the view and embrace while we were pumping Hearts. So this is what I've learned. Big learns is stay away from Falkirk versus Hearts Cup matches, and we're certain to win. So going forward, that is what I'm going to be doing.
You're just going to avoid any Falkirk Hearts game. What if it was like a Scottish Cup final or?
No, I think it,
still well, not go.
I think this is the lesson that we've learned from this. If I avoid cup games with Hearts, Falkirk win. So I'm taking all credit for the win yesterday. So moan the Bairns. Mate, how was it?
I'm probably going to annoy you because it was brilliant to be fair.
Yeah, of course it was. Of course it was.
However, before I start telling you how good it was, obviously we need to drink some of Ewan Cameron's tears.
Oh, yeah.
Before we cheers everybody. It was just one of those big cup days at Falkirk. Remember how we we always used to love the big cup days at Brockville? Yesterday was a proper cup time and fantastic crowd, nearly 6,700. The atmosphere was brilliant.
Yeah.
Fair play to Hearts as well, actually. They were quite loud for a period of the game. They did quieten.
They quietened later on, yeah, funnily enough.
Yeah, they quietened down later on. But just a proper cup tie, mate.
Yeah.
And what I've learned from it is, because we've all had conversations about how do you think we can play against a big physical Premiership team? That answered it yesterday. Because they mixed it up quite a lot. We rode our luck in the early stages of the game, which I know we'll dissect when Richard comes on. But we adjusted to how they were and how they started, and we adapted ourselves as the game went on. And there's no question now for me that can we win the championship? Yes, we can, and I'll say why. Because we will not face a better team than Hearts this season. So if we're on our A game, we will do well this year. I'm not saying we are going to win it, but I think we'll be there or thereabouts. If we continue in this form, we will be there or thereabouts.
Interesting. We'll come back to that bit later on because someone actually made a point on that. It was just brilliant. I mean, I couldn't get a stream at the festival, but I just kept seeing the updates come through, and it was brilliant. There was a cup. I was in the queue for the beers, and just heard some Jambos in the front of me going, "Oh, for fuck's sake, that's 2-0 Falkirk." And I was like, "Yes!"
Did you say something to them?
I didn't. But I think they could tell by my reaction in the queue when I was giving them a big cheer. There was no doubt who I supported. It was amazing, brilliant. But listen, before we crack into the podcast, we are going to have a guest pundit, Richard Lindsay, who's going to join us. We're going to preview the game against Thistle. with Partick Thistle podcast. Draw, lose, draw. But let's thanks, first of all, to our sponsors, and that is the Football Fans in Training, the T8s, supporting this podcast and supporting each other through football and making memories. Get involved with them every Monday at the stadium, 8 to 9, Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30. All the links to talk to the boys, Dougie, Ian, Mark, the whole troops that go down and play. Get involved with them. If you're looking to get a bit of fitness, just looking, maybe you just want to make some new mates, maybe you're fed up of your old mates and you just want to make new friends, that could be a possibility. Well, you'll find that at the T8s. Get down. All the links for joining them and get in touch with Ian and the guys over there are in the bio. And we've got to say also thanks to Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global. I was in there on Friday night, actually. I had my friend was over from New Zealand. He wasn't over from New Zealand. I worked beside him, but went to the Rosebank Distillery, which I have to say, check it out if you can. It's been brilliantly well done inside. You remember, God, Rosebank Way absolutely in ruins for years and years and years. But obviously, it's all been done up beautiful inside. They're obviously getting ready to distill whiskey again. But it was a great tour, and I thoroughly recommend it. But we played, I have to apologise to our tour guide, Ernst and his colleague Lucy, who were taking us around, because we thought, wonder if we could blag more whiskey if you just pretend that you're over from New Zealand as my cousin. So we tried that card and it failed. We didn't get any extra whiskey, but the whiskey was very good. Had a wee Glengoyne and a wee Tam Doo.
Very nice,
very nice. But yeah, that failed. But I was in there. I took my friend Shane from New Zealand round and a wee pub crawl of Falkirk. So we went to Cheers, we went to the Wheat Sheaf, which I actually bumped into our guest pundit. Richard was working behind the bar there. Then went to Tollbooth, the Welly, and then in Behind the Wall, and then the Station Bar. At what point, I think the barman in the station said, "You two have had enough. I don't think I'm going to serve you any more drink." I was like, it's probably a good time to go up the road now. But it was a great day. But anyway, so I was in Behind the Wall, brilliant. I had a couple of whiskies in there as well. And they've got the Invincible glasses back in stock in time for Saturday's match. The introductory offer is no longer, so you can be able to pick them up for a fiver now. So there you go. And, you know, Ryan Ward's given them for £2. I thought, yeah, you could charge a bit more for this. And you certainly go. £5, still, it's great, and the beer will hopefully back in soon as well. So that's it. If you go to Behind the Wall, you can get yourself an Invincible glass for £5. Pop down there this Saturday before the match against Thistle. And also look out for, and this is a great, W2. And who are they, a tribute band to Ross? U2, of course. They'll be playing in there Behind the Wall on Friday the 30th of August, 8 o'clock, and it's only £7.50 for a ticket. Behind the Wall is great for a gig. By the way, really, really good. I said last week the Zills were playing there. Band called Rest are playing there really, really soon. Brilliant. Go and check them out if you can. Get down Behind the Wall for the U2 tribute band, W2. That's on the 30th of August. And let's say £7.50 for a ticket if you like a bit of U2. And who doesn't like U2?
Exactly.
Got some absolute tunes, man. So get down. I love a tribute band, me. I absolutely love a tribute band. But get down Behind the Wall and get your tickets here. And remember, they're running the buses. They'll be running it for the Thistle game as well. £5 on, down to the ground, back up to the pub after the game, and you get your complimentary pint, and it's only a fiver. So brilliant. Get down and get your name to Scott at the bar for the Thistle game this Saturday. So thanks to Behind the Wall, as ever. Not much in the way of news, but let's talk about Ross McKeever extending his contract until 2027. And on course, of course, for 30 goals this season, Ross.
He is indeed, yeah. No, well worthy of his new contract. Absolutely delighted when I saw that, because he is on a rich vein of form.
Yeah.
And who knows who's sniffing about him. There will be clubs, any player who's in form and scoring goals and making chances for others, they're going to be in demand. So I think that's a brilliant piece of business for the club to get him tied down. And I know John McGlynn probably has others that he maybe wants to tie down longer as well.
He said that in the interview this week.
Millers and stuff as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Said that in the interview this week. And he said that hopefully the money from the cup run, now we know we're in the next round, might assist that, which is great news. So you would think, I'm trying to think who, Calvin Miller being one, probably. I'm trying to think who else.
Calvin, definitely, you would think.
Yeah.
I'd be tying down Keelan Adams or a Jim McLean special, to be honest. 7 years with a 7 year option or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was phenomenal again yesterday. But I know we'll dissect that in a minute. But he, so Calvin, Alfie, surely, is maybe up for debate as well.
Yeah,
exciting.
We'll see what happens with that, because we have obviously I've got the money now to do that. So great to hear Ross, because like you say, he's such an integral part of that team, such an integral part of our attack. You know, his link. We've talked so much about Ross. You know, I was skeptical. Like, could he make up the step to the championship? And he's proven that, and he proved it again yesterday. We'll get into his chances a bit later on, but he's done so well, Big Ross. And you know, Big Ross, you'll be delighted with that. And you know, on course for getting the 30. How many has he got to go now? 26 to go.
Well, 26 officially. He has got 4. I know I'm counting the friendlies ones, but officially he's got 4 goals since the competitive action started, which is not a bad return, and he's created probably twice as many as that as well. So yeah, big player for us.
Yeah, let's talk about Falkirk women. They were in action today, 3-0 to Stirling University, unfortunately. That was away from home. They've just tweeted there, just saying it was a disappointing result. I don't know what I think they were hoping. But again, they've stepped up this season to a stronger league. So the women, it's going to be a stronger opposition there. Anna Murray, of course, the Falkirk Daft captain there. We'll hopefully get a full report on how it went for the girls. But yeah, beating off, you know, off Stirling University, unfortunately, today.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great
result for them. But as you said, John, they have stepped up, and they did have that massive win against Dennisfield last.
Yeah, that will
set
the confidence. So they'll bounce back hopefully next week.
They will.
We've got to talk flagpoles. I feel that we've had an influence on the fact there is now a flagpole popped up at the Falkirk Stadium, because there wasn't one. I mean, we talked about it's only £100 for a flagpole. You can get it sponsored, and now we've got a flagpole, Ross. I was delighted for that. They must have taken our advice and went down to Flagpoles or Us and got themselves a flagpole.
Yeah, always good to see. Always good to see. And it was flying the right way as well. It's flying like a proper flag, unlike the SPFL official flagpole that they had on day one, didn't they? So, it looks great. I not where I thought it they were going to put it. I would have thought they would have put it in a corner, but it's fine where it is. I suppose when the TV camera gantry comes back for the TV game, it might get blocked by that. But otherwise, it's great to see. Listen, I would love to see multiple flags there in terms of championship winners.
Yes.
Hopefully we can add one this year as well. That would be nice.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So fantastic. And I'm sure the commercial team will have that sponsored. You could have two flags. You could have fly a commercial sponsor flag and the League One Champions flag alongside it. What about a Falkirk Daft flag? We get a Falkirk Daft flag made up. That'd be amazing. Let's do that. Let's get that flying.
How much would they charge us for that, though?
Oh, who knows? A nice little addition to the ground, and I hope we played our part in making that happen. I'd like to think so. I'm desperate to hear about this game. I'm desperate to talk about it with you guys. So let's invite our guest pundit on this week. It's a man who is, I've known him for many, many a year, big Falkirk supporter. It's Richard Lindsay.
Hi, how you doing? You all right?
Good. And talking about seeing you in the pub, I was saying earlier on, I saw you in the Wheat Sheaf serving behind the bar, because you now and again serve on at the Wheat Sheaf with the short, Richard, don't you? I believe you specialise in cocktails there as well.
Well, sometimes, mate, but when they're scraping the bottom of the barrel and they've asked everybody they possibly can, I'm the guy they call to help out. So, talking of beer, I shall have one.
For anyone listening and not watching the YouTube version, Richard has just drank from a cup which says Ewan Cameron's tears on it. We should check up on Ewan, because, you know, in this day of checking on people's mental health, you know, I feel it's our obligation to check on Ewan a bit later on, so we'll give him a call a bit later on in the podcast. But let's
talk. Did we get Holly Willoughby to do it, no?
Let's first of all find out a bit about Richard and his Falkirk history. Richard, what was the first game you went to?
I was told, or I believe it was the 87-88 season. I was very young, but it was Falkirk 3, St Mirren 0. I think it was goals. I think McWilliams and Bappe scored two of them. And I believe I went home crying because I was devastated that St Mirren got beat because I was so infatuated with the stripes. I actually might have had a St Mirren top as a very young boy, but then thankfully that disappeared very quickly, and I support the only team that there is to support.
Exactly.
I didn't get used to black and white stripes, that's all I'm
saying. Oh, I know, mate. Thankfully, it was very young, but yeah.
I know. I can't say I'm a Newcastle supporter, so I've got Newcastle point. Tops, and so I have been known to wear the black and white stripes of Newcastle and been pilled for it as well. Yeah, and we started this season, we thought we'd mix up the question this season and say, and Scott Henderson, God bless him, from Crunchy Caps was on last week and he was absolute shite bag and didn't answer this question. So feel free not to answer it, Richard, but I'll ask you, who's the worst player you've seen in the Navy, boy?
There's been a few, hasn't there?
Good. Let's hear some pain. I want to hear some pain here.
No, I think, like, obviously there's a time in your life where a player could be worse than they actually are, or I don't know, or the whole team is bad. But when you think to that team that got us relegated, like pre-COVID, and you had players like Ruben Samet, who was coming from Chelsea as the under 21 captain, I believe.
Yeah.
He looked like he never kicked a football in his life. He looked like me at fives, so Samet has to be up there. There's obviously the obvious Leo Fazan and players like that. But,
what fear that
did. Well, this is not an obvious one, but this is one that really sticks with me. Was it the last Yogi season where we signed Dad's Army?
Oh, yeah.
And we went from a team that was really exciting to watch, you know, like Gow, Latapy, Stokes previous, and then you had like Neil McCann, and I'm not saying Neil McCann was the worst footballer that's ever played for Falkirk, but he did not care. He looked like he just walked around the park, and players like that, they're just as bad for me as ones who were actually bad footballers and tried. So,
yeah, it's a fair. You know,
so McCann for me, plus he seems like a wee bit of a fanny. So.
I met him in the queue randomly at Bruce Springsteen when I was queuing for a beer, and I was like, Neil McCann. And I don't know why I was stupid. I was like, Falkirk legend. And then he's like, oh, no. I was chatting to him for a wee bit about Falkirk.
Just to clarify, you called him.
I know. I don't know what I was thinking. But then he actually turned to me and said, when's he going to start saying about Bruce Springsteen? When's he going to start playing the good ones? And I thought at that point, listen.
No.
They're all good, Neil. Yeah. That's the boss you're listening to. They're all good. At that point, you're right, Richard. He was a wee fanny.
going back to Richard's point, though, obviously there's too many bad players to mention, really, isn't there? But see if you think about it, like, and I know this is a bit of a cliche, but you do need to put up with to get the rainbow, you need to put up with the rain, don't you? So we've had to go through all the shit to appreciate kind of where we are now.
We were actually talking about that yesterday. It was like, these last couple of weeks or last season is making up for all the abuse and all the nonsense we put up for us last few years.
And it was payback time.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to enjoy every single second
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, let's enjoy talking about the Hearts game, because I obviously missed it, so I'm delighted that you guys got to film it.
You missed the Hearts game, John?
Yeah, well, yes. I've just said earlier on, Richard, that I am staying away from Hearts Cup games, and I'm taking all credit for the one yesterday, because we've now found out that by staying away from Hearts Cup games, Falkirk go on to win them. So I'm taking all credit for the result yesterday. Falkirk 2, Hearts 0. 6,653 supporters in the Falkirk Stadium. Morrison was suspended. We knew that was coming. Surprisingly, I thought he would have started Alfie, but he brought in Ethan Ross and then switched Miller over to the right. Were you surprised that Alfie didn't come in, Ross?
A little bit. He was obviously one of the two options, and Ethan Ross is a more than capable person to come in, but really dislodge Calvin Miller to do that. And John did. And being honest, it did work for a couple of reasons. One, I thought Ethan was absolutely fantastic yesterday in that position. Calvin maybe didn't have his best game. He was still very, very good, but he wasn't at his best, maybe because he was in that
natural position. Yeah.
However, we also needed that impetus of Alfie coming off from the bench. And I think he is maybe better as a sub, impact sub than he is a starter. That's maybe just my gut feel, though.
Yeah, Richard, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I expected Alfie to play, I'll be honest. But then you look at what Ethan Ross gives you, and it's pure pace in behind, you know. And obviously, you switch Miller and Ross, and then you had Ross up against their right back. I can't remember his name, but he was meant to be this superstar that came.
Hey, was that Penrice was playing right back for them?
Well, Penrice was left back, wasn't he?
Penrice was playing left back, and then the boy Gerard Taylor.
Yes, him. Yeah. The guy pretty good against Rangers.
I did read that. He had more of a game, he looked like a superstar against Rangers, then he didn't look good against Dundee, and I think he was in that ilk yesterday as well, from what I hear.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, I know both of them work, Ross and Alfie both work, but like going the other way, I think maybe Ross's pace kind of decided that one, but yeah, no problems with either of them.
I mean, I'm just gutted. I just want to see Alfie get a run, because I think I love Alfie, absolutely love watching Alfie as a footballer. He's just that...
Gets so much off the bench, though, you know,
Alfie. Yeah, he does. I mean, absolutely impactful, but I just love watching him as a footballer, because he just seems like an absolute enigma, and I love that in a footballer. Absolutely love that in a footballer. It looked, certainly when I was looking at the updates, it was a bit of an early storm. You had Boyce with that chance, and then Vargas then goes and hits the bar, and you're thinking, gee, were you guys worried at that point?
I was a little. We started off, as you said, on the back foot. It took 10, 15 minutes for us to kind of get a grip of how Hearts were playing, how they were going to be setting up. But once we got through that early storm, and it was panicky at points, massive shout out to Nicky. Honestly, the saves that he pulled off in that first 10, 15 minutes yesterday were outstanding.
It was the one from Oda, and then there was the one where he had to, just at a tight angle, wasn't there, that he had to drive down to get, yeah.
And obviously we did hit the bar, so that wasn't a save, but then we did, Nicky, if you look back at the highlights, he did make himself exceptionally big. So maybe he did put the guy off ever so slightly, but it obviously came crashing down off the bar. But once we weathered that storm, we got a grip of the game, and I know I said this right at the beginning, John, but we adjusted so well to how Hearts were set up and how they were ready to play against us. We changed how we needed to be really quickly. And as soon as we did that, I think we were about 20, 25 minutes in, it was a completely different game.
Yeah. I thought the first 20, 25 minutes, Hearts looked like a Premier League team. You know, they zipped it around. They were big, they were physical, not like fouling, but just aggressive in the press, you know, and we didn't really have many answers in that first 20, 25 minutes. It was just, you know, back to the wall, just hold on. And then they had a few chances. Nicky, brilliant. I mean, I know Sean Mackey got man of the match, but if it wasn't for Nicky, then, you know, we wouldn't be sitting here delighted drinking Ewan's tears today. So, that first 25 minutes were tough. But, I mean, I expected that against a Premier League team that are about to play in Europe, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, talking about playing, there was obviously a good few changes made by Hearts. Surprised that Shankland wasn't starting, Ross?
A little bit. Obviously, they've got this European tie midweek. So I did think he would start, though. I thought Hearts may start with their strongest lineup and then make changes if need be. But they didn't. They made eight changes. And I thought it was really disrespectful to us in terms of what the changes they did make, because they completely underestimated us.
Yeah. Everybody underestimates us, don't they? It seems to be a common recovery occurrence this season so far. Yeah. And I mean, even I thought Shankland didn't even look, I don't know if he's fit, you know, I don't know if he's like match fit, because when he came on, he obviously didn't do very much.
Yeah, I mean, I did hear, actually, I was listening to the radio coming in, John McGlynn was actually on BBC Scotland today, so I went back and listened to his interview, and I think it was Stephen Thompson made the point that Hearts should play the strongest cup, and because they've only feasibly got two chances at winning something, and that's the Scottish Cup and the League Cup, you know, because in a one-off game against Rangers or Celtic, you know, anything can happen. But he said they should play the strongest team, and actually Stephen Thompson said, I don't think it was a surprise that Falkirk won. I wasn't shocked, I wasn't surprised that Falkirk won, which I thought, fair play to him. And like you say, Richard, it's just that people are underestimating them. It's how far will that keep going, though, that people will underestimate us? Hopefully forever. I mean, it seemed that we came into the, you know, we talked about, Nicky says, talk about, we figured, did we figure Hearts out, or did we just think, Ross, that, you know what, let's go and play our game?
I think it was a bit of both. I think we had to adjust that first 10, 15 minutes, because if we just kept doing what we were doing, it wasn't going to happen, and we were just going to sit quite deep and defend. But when we did get into a normal rhythm, we caused them problems. And I actually think we panicked them quite a bit in the first half when we got a grip into the game. So obviously, I know we'll talk about McKeever's chance that we all thought was a goal. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. But there was just moments where they looked really dodgy when we were attacking them. They didn't like the pace of Calvin Miller and Ethan Ross through the wings. And I also don't think they liked how Gary Oliver was playing, because Gary was getting the ball. He wasn't just holding it up and passing it back, which is a bit of kind of Gary's game, bringing others into play. He was getting the ball and driving on. So I don't think they settled after we kind of got a grip. And we were relentless after that, really.
Richard, I've read a lot of people praising Gary Oliver's performance against Hearts. What did you think make of him?
No, he was brilliant. He just followed on from Dunfermline, where I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent.
He battled in the midfield. You know, a very different type of player to Nez, but he gives you that control and calmness in the midfield, and he holds the ball a bit like McKeever. He keeps the ball and he lets Miller and Ross go wide and not have to worry about coming to help out. So yeah, no, I thought Gary was excellent.
Yeah. And my fascinating fact about Gary Oliver, he's Jim Duffy's nephew. There you go. So former Falkirk.
Honestly, was on Duffy. I actually had a FaceTime from Gary Oliver when I was in Germany at the Euros. Do you remember my very drunken tweet? I was sitting with some guys and they said, "We're best pals with Gary Oliver." I was like, "All right." I didn't believe a word they said. And then all of a sudden he was on FaceTime and we're chatting to Gary Oliver at the fan park.
Brilliant. Love
good
that.
Guy.
Superb. Good guy. Let's talk about Ross's big chance, because it could have went in 1-0, Ross, and you could have been another goal towards the 30 as well. He did so well. He basically took two men out of the game, and then brilliant shot of goal. And Craig Gordon, you know, made his debut against Falkirk, I believe, or it was his second appearance for Hearts. Yeah. Turning back the years, brilliant save to put it past the post.
It was. I didn't see the save at the time either, because it looked like Ross had maybe just clipped it past the post, but obviously in hindsight, it's been a tremendous save from him. But Ross did absolutely everything right. The through ball, I think it was Sean Mackey that played the long ball forward. I think it was anyway. And Ross obviously runs onto it, dinks it past one guy, keeps on running. And then you just think he's going to slot this home. And everybody was celebrating, Richard, weren't they? Like genuinely, absolutely. I think everybody thought this is in.
Yeah, heard the cheer, yeah.
You heard the cheer. And then it just obviously, it was a fantastic save. But had that went in, I genuinely think we could have scored a barrel yesterday, because I think that would have been enough to set Hearts off if we'd scored earlier than we did.
I think that was the sea change. I think that was the moment in the game where we'd started to get back into it, and then all of a sudden you could see that Halkett and Kingsley were gettable, and McKeever also taking both of them out of the game with that with a little touch. Yeah. And then I was right behind it in the south stand, so I knew Gordon had saved it. So obviously everybody around us was saying it's an incredible save. But it was really interesting what McGlynn said on the radio about Gordon being that good, that he made McKeever play it there. Like he McKeever could only play it in one position, so he knew he was going to dive that way and make the save. So no, brilliant from Craig Gordon, outstanding.
Yeah. But half time 0-0, you take that and we come out second half. And did you feel, Ross, you mentioned kind of sea change, did you feel there was a big change in that second half, the way we came out at Hearts?
Yeah, we were relentless. There was only one team really in it in the second half. The crowd felt it. The Hearts fans, I think, probably felt it as well. There was just, we were shooting towards the Kevin McAllister stand. The crowd was like, honestly, the ultras, we praise the ultras almost every game. But I think that second half yesterday was probably the loudest I've heard the stadium. It was just everybody, as Richard said, everybody felt it. You just knew something was going to happen, and it was only going to be a matter of time before we put the ball in the net.
Yeah, and it did happen. Let's talk about Keelan Adams, Richard. Obviously, started his Falkirk career flying. I've seen a lot of comparisons between him and Davey Weir floating about. How good do you think he can be, and how far do you think he can go?
He's rubbish. Don't buy him. Terrible. Just leave him alone. He's not worth it. No, he's unbelievable, isn't he? I mean, looks like he's played there all his life. He's just a young boy. He's got so much energy, so much pace. There was one in the first half that got put down the line, I think it. Or no, it was the second half, actually. Was it into Oda or something? And he just used his pace to get back and nick it out the park, you know. And he wasn't out of position, but, you know, it was a good move from Hearts. And you're just like, that ability to read the game and get back is fantastic. And then going forward, did exactly what he did at Dunfermline, didn't he? Broke down the right. It's just his energy and his pace to get in the box. And for a boy that age to have that composure to pick out, we're obviously going to talk about the goal, but to pick out Ethan in that moment was just brilliant. I mean, you get veterans of football who can't make that pass. So yeah, the boy's a superstar, I think.
Yeah, he gets down, great ball, and another assist for Keelan. And Ethan Ross just coming in, drifting in and finding space in the box. And, you know, Gordon's got no chance as he smashes it by him, Ross. Scenes.
It was scenes indeed. The limbs were like everywhere, like even in the disabled area, there was limbs everywhere, John. It was just, honestly, it was carnage, absolute carnage. And the noise, the feeling, the fans obviously piling forward behind the goals as well. I think, Richard, obviously you were behind the goals, but where we were, it's obviously, it can be a little bit more tamer than in the Kevin McAllister. But honestly, there was bodies everywhere and folk were flying everywhere, and it just felt like this was the moment. And it was a typical cup tie between Falkirk and Hearts, and we have some sort of, I know it doesn't happen every game with them, but there's odd games where we just have that feeling that we're going to go and do them, and we did it.
I think as well, that's the furthest along the south stand that I've seen or heard people standing singing, you know, because you've got the ultras in it on the left hand side, and I don't know if it, as the further along you get, it's a bit more reserved, you know, but then everybody was on their feet, everybody was jumping, everybody was singing and clapping. It was brilliant. And what I love about that goal, one of the things I love about it is when the ball hits the net, the actual, like, the net lifts up.
I saw that, like, as well. That was nice, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, you go down the YouTube rabbit hole and you end up watching goals for hours, and there was a compilation of like net sounds, like the best net sounds or the best, don't want to go into my world, but you know, like when the ball hit the back of the net and like the net sound and the net lifts up, it's brilliant. I love that goal.
He absolutely melted it. Ethan, no one was getting in the way of that shot. But brilliant. I mean, to go 1-0 up against Hearts. Did you notice a change in Hearts after that goal went in, Ross, or was it just Falkirk from there on in?
I didn't see any change in Hearts in the full first half. The full second half, to be honest, John. They came out, I think they just thought, oh, well, eventually we'll score because they've had a number of chances. But as Richard said, the turning point really was that sort of 40th minute mark. And it just felt from then on that it was going to be our day. And so for me, Hearts didn't do enough. They disrespected us, in my opinion. Not unlike the guest pundit we had on previewing the game last week. Completely disrespected what we've done, where we've been. We're not a League One club in the Championship. We're a Premier League club who's been on their arse for 15 years, and we're making our way back up. And these teams need to remember this is where we're coming.
Yeah.
I thought Hearts actually looked worse. Sorry, John. I thought Hearts actually looked worse when he brought the subs on.
Really? You
know, like, Shankland
obviously came on. Who else came on? Dandy. I noticed there was a lot of Hearts supporters booing Dandy getting subbed off.
Yeah, I don't think they were very happy with Naismith for a lot of it, to be honest. But yeah.
They bought Barry Mackay on as well, and he's ranked rotten these days. Like, how that man
scores against us. Yeah. Or he always, like, does something against us. I remember him playing for Morton or previous teams, he'd always show a bit of magic against us, but he did nothing, yeah. And, like, I think when they brought Forrest on, Calvin Miller then just started to help out Sean Mackay, you know, and, like, double up and then do...
That was a brilliant partnership, actually, Richard. That was a brilliant partnership on the left, both defensively and offensively, because Sean Mackey was up and down that wing all day, regardless of whether he was defending or and look at the last minute. Was, you know, he was one of the strikers at one point in the last minute trying to get a goal for himself, I think.
Why is the Sean Mackey
and
Roberto Carlos one? Like, what's going on? I love it.
Brilliant.
I mean, you feel sorry because Leon McCann, that was his position all last season, but you can't displace. I thought Sean was brilliant at Dunfermline as well, and obviously showed up yesterday getting the man of the match by the sponsors. But I love, I'm a big fan of Sean Mackey. I just love his blood and guts and thunder with him, and, you know, getting up and down that ring. It's good to hear that.
I think that's why Sean's improved, because he's got Leon McCann to push him. You know, they've got the two of them. We've got two players in every position almost. So you know, there's like you've got to be good or you're going to lose your position. So that you can see Mackey's came on, definitely leaps and bounds.
Yeah, no, definitely. It gives it again. We talked about his physicality as well. I mean, we all know that when Sean Mackey was brought in, like John McGlynn himself didn't fancy Leon McCann. I think it was just basically on his physicality. And Leon obviously went and made that position his own, got his extension as well. But Sean was always his boy. But, you know, he brings that physicality to the back four, you know, and now you've got Keelan Adams on the right hand side. Finn, again, one of our players, amazing footballer. But again, you just feel. In that league, in the championship, against Hearts, like you were talking about the physicality, these are the kind of players that you need in your team to stand a chance, you know what I mean? And obviously Sean's proven it and in doing that. Finn came on for Ethan Ross, I noticed as well. Was that do you think Ethan had just ran his race?
He had done. He pulled up with some cramp when he I think actually maybe it was fake cramp. Potentially, because there was a couple of times in the game, John, where we were quite cute. We'd just given ourselves a bit of a breather. Brad Spencer did it after about 25, half an hour, minutes into the first half, and it actually worked a dream because it meant our boys could get a chat with John. They could have a bit of a water intake. And then again, there was a couple of times in the second half where, likewise, it was we just needed to kind of slow the play down. But Ethan was outstanding. Even with his goal, he was outstanding yesterday. Finn came on though, and honestly, you would think he wouldn't have had much of a part to play, but he nearly scored. Yeah. He was here, there, and everywhere in that number 10 role. I thought he was great when he
was playing. Was Finn playing in the 10 then? Did he come on and play in the 10?
He was farther up, yeah, because just with the subs we had already made, the positions that we'd already made, and it was the obvious choice for him to go into that position. I wondered if he may go into centre mid with Tate moving up, but if you think about it, Yeats is coming on with fresh legs. Why not play him in the 10? And he was very, very comfortable. Yeah,
that's interesting because I thought, like, obviously, Alfie came on for Gary Oliver. So I thought he might have been playing in the 10, but then presumably he just got moved out wide then.
Yeah, they moved Calvin Miller into the 10 for the brief time that he was there and put Agamemnon on the.
Right,
on
okay.
The, and then when Ethan Ross went off, they put Calvin back over and put Yeats in the mid in the 10. But Yeats did brilliant, yeah.
Yeah.
Full energy, you know, his first touch, that chance that he created was wonderful, and then moves it inside, he's just a little bit unlucky, but no, he looked great there, good there.
Yeah. We didn't John, have to...
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say John and, Dylan Tate and Brad Spencer, though, again, like, there are no words to describe how good these two boys are. They did a lot of the dirty work yesterday because they had to. They did a lot of the attacking play, went through them as you would expect as well. These guys are the best two midfielders that I think we've had in our club for 15 years. Yeah. Genuinely, I think they're the best two. Like Dylan Tate's touch, he finds himself with two or three players around him. And like I'm not being funny, but he could find space in a single bed with Gemma Collins. He's that good. At- Like he gets out of these tricky situations every single time. And apart from the goal, honestly, he was here, there, and everywhere. It really was.
For me, Brad Spencer is massively underappreciated. You know,
I don't think we
create as much or go forward like we do if it's not for Spencer just knitting it all together. Yeah. You know, he drops into that position just in front of the back four on the left-hand side and collects it, a bit like Toni Kroos did, you know, like just comes and gets it. And then
I'm here for the Toni Kroos comparisons to Brad Spencer. I am here for that, by the way. I love
it. Have it. You know, and he just pings it into Tate or gives it, you know, gives it simply, but does it so effectively. And Brad is a fantastic football player and we're very lucky to have him.
Giroud up front and Chris in midfield, that's what it's all about. We didn't have to wait, we talked about Finn's chance, we didn't have to wait long after, and it was Alfie doing what he does, hassling the goalkeeper, forcing Gordon into a mistake. Obviously Craig Gordon kicks it out to Calvin Miller. Miller gets crosses again, and it's a very typical Falkirk goal. Dylan Tate, very similar to the first in the way Dylan Tate just finds himself in unmarked and smashes it. You know, well, doesn't smash it, just places it past Craig Gordon. It was well picked out, but yeah, Dylan Tate there again, and just again more scenes.
It was bedlam. Like at the second goal, the first one was a big, big, big celebration, but the second one because there was like. That nervousness of is one enough. You then get the second one with what 10 minutes to go, and you can actually start to enjoy the game.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
large parts of it, you're just nervous because of how the game's been. But to get that second goal, it was phenomenal. And again, the noise just cranked up a level. The singing didn't stop until that last kick of the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, Calvin and Dylan were both pretty tired by that point. So yeah. for Calvin to control it and actually take on Halkett, get outside them and pull it back, and for Dylan just to wander in at the back post, you know, he could have just thought, oh, I'll defend here, I'll just sit back a bit. But for him just to sort of walk in at the back post was, you know, it showed great desire to get there, and yeah, a brilliant finish, you know.
La, loved it.
Also, like, I think the whole thing about being worried is because we're Falkirk supporters.
Well, like, you know, exactly.
This team is built differently, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, they've not been there for the past. These players, like, you know, they believe in their ability, and you know, you can see that they're a different animal.
Absolutely, yeah. Relentless, aren't they? Yeah.
The only thing we've got
totally.
To talk about really is the sending off. Ryan Shanley obviously came off the bench for Ross. Any complaints about the red card? It was very similar to the Cole Donaldson one.
I thought it was a red. I was shocked when the ref initially went to his back pocket to get his yellow, to be honest, because he did that and then he went, oh no, wait. And then he got his red card out. There wasn't any malice in it. Like,
you could tell from the Hearts players' reaction as well. It was a ball he had to challenge for, but he's just, you know, if he hadn't challenged him.
I think everybody knew it was going to be a red. You could hear the intake of breath. At the same time, like you say, there's no malice. Kingsley got up and walked away. Even the Hearts boy was like patting Roshan on the back. It's just one of them where it's like, it's the laws of the game, which is unfortunate, really.
Is he now suspended for the next round, or is he suspended for the next league game because it was a straight red?
It's a very good question. I think he might be suspended because it might be the league game. We'll have to check into that. We've got cover there, I guess. Alfie could come off the bench and play up top. You know, Gary Oliver can move forward if Nesbitt's back fit again. So we have got a wee bit of cover there at least. But it's a shame for Ryan. I think everyone, like you say, I don't think there's many complaints from the Falkirk supporters on it. That's the game. Let's hear what the manager had to say.
John, another difficult game, another win. Absolutely not.
I think it was going to be a walk in the park, can't I?
But these games just keep coming, and this team just keeps knocking them out of the park, and it's another scalp to add to the collection. How happy are you?
Oh, I'm delighted, you know, I'm absolutely delighted. So proud of the players, they're fantastic. The players are just a different class. Yeah, they just continuously churn out performance after performance after performance, and I said it umpteen times, you know, for last season, cannot praise them enough. They are a different class to work with, a different class on the pitch, and big team comes to town, and you know, we've stood up to it. I thought we rode our luck early on. Hearts hit the bar, a good strike, hit the bar. Nicky's made two or three good saves. Oda was through, that I can remember, he was through, got in behind. Didn't get any pressure on the ball. He got in behind, good run, got in. Nicky made a save. There was another one he saved as well with his legs. Just can't quite remember the whole thing. So well done to Nicky. He's kept us in the game. Needed him at that point in time. But I think once we got over that opening period, I think we settled down. I think we worked our way into the game. I think Keelan Adams was always a threat down the right hand side. His pace and getting in behind him. Again, obviously that showed at the goal, but it actually showed in the first half as well. He did really well. And probably the best chance in the half maybe came for Ross McKeever when he played in. He's managed to get in behind Halkett. He's went across Stephen Kingsley, and he's only got Craig Gordon to beat. But Craig's an amazing goalkeeper. You know, he's made two great saves for Ross today. Ross could have been coming away there with a brace, no problem. You know, a goalkeeper of less experience and quality, and he's probably scoring a couple of goals today. But it was a whole team, you know, and we said that to them. There's no one in our team today was going to win that game on their own. It was going to have to be the whole team. We'd have to perform, we'd have to work hard. And we always wanted to make them nervous. They're under a little bit of pressure after the game last week. And they know coming here it was never going to be a walk in the park either. So it was to keep that pressure on, to stay in the game, to cause them moments where they would fear us. And I think all that came to fruition. So the game plan kind of worked a treat. but you know, respect. I mean, I thought Hearts early doors and were that little bit sharper than us, which you've got to expect, and maybe that little bit more physically, you know, maybe stronger, not dirty, not at all. I don't mean that. I just mean they were strong boys. You know, we're trying to play the balls up into Ross, and he normally would control things. It's maybe coming off because the contact was so much, and he wasn't the only one. So there was that bit of, you know, physicality that I thought that was kind of that and the sharpness. Little Hearts, and that's had the opening period of the game, but I thought once we settled down and Brad and Dylan got on the ball and made a few passes across the back, the guys at the back, and then throughout the game I thought the whole team were excellent, absolutely excellent, and I can't give them enough praise. I'm just so proud of the players. The players are, you know, a joy to work with, and you know, consistency levels is through the roof.
There you are, Mr. John McGlynn. Is that, you know, obviously John's a Hearts man. He is a Hearts man. So, you know, you can never tell if John's happy or no, but you can, I'm guessing he went home last night and he had a wee beer to celebrate that, you know. Great to see you. Obviously, we talked about Cole Donaldson. He's a big Jambo as well. You bumped into him.
Breaking news. The draw has just been made. And oh, we have Celtic at Parkhead.
Oh!
Does anybody know the money dance? Because we're about to do it. There's £250,000.
There's £250,000, yeah. But I don't
know. Oh, do you have the other ties?
I don't yet. No, that's the. I've just got a text came through the round.
That's the TV.
Oh, wait, here we go. Yeah, so Rangers are at home at Dundee, Celtic Falkirk, Aberdeen at home at Spartans, and Motherwell playing Dundee United.
Well, if you're not going to get Spartans at home, that's the draw you want, isn't it? A full Parkhead.
We're due Celtic one.
Yeah.
Do you remember that season though? We won the league 2004-05. We won the league that year. It was the first season at the stadium, and Celtic pumped us, I think, 8-1.
Yeah. This Scally saying we're Barcelona.
Yeah. And that was, yes, that was
I remember Andy Thompson scoring that and celebrating it like we'd just won the cup final.
Remember, everyone was going, easy.
Yeah.
Did Mark Campbell not try and take on Janino at the edge of the box?
Yeah, I think he did.
Sure he did. And then he just got robbed, and then it was like 4-0 in about 25 minutes or something like that.
I know we've digressed away from Hearts, but do you know the big thing there is it's a massive... Celtic had a full house today for Hibs, by the way, so that I think it'll be the same again. It'll be on TV, so we're going to make a shit ton of money from it. And do you know what? I'm sick of going to, like, and no, this is no disrespect to some of the places we go to, all these games everywhere around the country. It will actually, as much as the politics around Rangers and Celtic and the shite they sing, it's going to be kind of cool going back to a proper.
Yeah,
big
stadium. It'll be a good day in Glasgow, you know.
Exactly. And I presume it will be a Sunday as well. Though I think in the next round they might do Friday, Saturday, Sunday games. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But no, great. I mean, listen, like I say, if you're going to get anyone, that's the one you want. I mean, you'd maybe have more chance of playing them if you're playing them at home. But to go in there and get the gate from Celtic and, you know, the TV money that'll come with it, that hopefully means we'll get a wee bit of movement in the transfer before the end of the transfer window as well. Get a big centre-half in. Come on, you know you want to make it happen, Jamie Swinney.
I'm not being funny, but I can just imagine John McGlynn just pulling the plug to it right there. He's absolutely...
You'll be on the phone right here. Jamie!
You can maybe go for that O'Reilly boy for Celtic.
Aye, well, let's have him. Listen, he'll be in Brad Spencer's back pocket, you know. That's it. Listen, bring it on. Like you say, it'll be a great day out, no matter what. And you know what? We've got nothing to fear. We go in there, play our football, and hopefully don't get pumped. That's it. But no, that'd be great. Looking forward to that already. Brilliant. Superb. Right. Breaking news on the podcast. Let's go back to the Hearts game. Get your views on it. Craig kicks us off with saying, first half was a worry at times, but second half, we pumped them. Man of the match, split between Adams, Tate, Spencer and Mackey. Ref was one of the worst we have had at the stadium in a long time. Not really discussed the referee, David Dickinson's performance. What did you make of it?
Bell end.
Really? What was poor about him? Obviously, he sent off. We talked about Ryan Shanley sending off.
He got that right, though. Sending it off was fine. I assume I'm allowed to say this because it's not as if we're attached to anything, right? But see when you get refs who are blatantly giving decisions to the bigger team, That's what it felt like from the first minute yesterday. Like how Dylan Tate survived the full game on that very early booking, and it was barely a foul, never mind a booking. And you just think, come on. Honestly, John, the guy, it was one of the worst, and we've seen some shit refs at the stadium in the last four.
I think he was just so inconsistent. You know, it was like Ross says, he was given fouls like that were foul. They were fouls for like four Hearts, but then when it was the equivalent for us, it was just like waving play on. You're like,
yeah.
You just want a bit of like, you know, consistency with the refs. And I thought, this is what I've noticed actually. I noticed that since we've come up to the Championship, there's a lot more diving, I felt, and there's like the referees are just as poor as League One. I thought they were meant to get better when we came up.
They were absolutely shocking League One.
And it's like, I don't really see any difference. They feel like they want to be centre stage.
Yeah, that is exactly. It was the David Dickinson bloody show. Exactly.
Yeah,
but he's come a long way since Bargain Hunt. Right. Pamela, I got told off for saying this, Pamela. Wash your mouth out with soap, Pamela. She said, out fucking standard again. She's obviously just at it for me. Smashed eye. Bit shaky first 10-15 minutes. Rode her luck. Colossal effort from every single player. And back to the help from the Dickinson and your pal for Dafty. How are the same refs managing to get worse? That's just taking the words out of your mouth there, boys. Bairn Star says, what a team. Mackie was outstanding. McKeever brilliant and deserved a goal. Ross looked like a man possessed at times. And Adams is something sensational. Jamie, immense all over the park. We had them on toast the day with some tasty, silky, sexy soccer from the navy blue gods. Like that. Gus, good times are back. Team were superb. Other than that early flurry from Hearts, when they hit the bar, we more than matched them. Promotion, let's do it. There we go. Liking this. Michael, brilliant performance from everyone in navy blue. All superb, but we give to Hogarth for his first half, keeping us level and allowing platform for the second half. Again, said that earlier on. Ada's dad, that's it. I'm going to have to marry Keegan Adams. He's some player. That's all it is. That's the tweet. Campbell says, weathered the early storm and tried to play our way into the game. Second half, we were much better. Hogarth and Mackie, both standouts among many great performances. Adams has been a real find. There's a very common thread running through here. Give us Rangers next round and then on to the semis. Well, we've got Celtic, so we'll take that. Malcolm, the arrogance of Naismith not to start Wankland was deeply pleasing. Bairns were very good, rode their luck in the first 20 minutes. Gordon kept them in the game with a couple of good saves. Quality of football was really good. And Ali says, John Ross, get that plum back on the pod and make him eat some humble pie. Make sure it's a big pie as the mouth takes some filling. Well, we'll give you in a call.
I was
kind of saving to go into work tomorrow, but let's give him a call just now, will we? Because, like I say, mental health is really important in this day and age. And, you know, here we go. Let's see what he's saying. So, he won't pick up. He might.
He'll be in his bed.
Crying.
Oh, come on, Ewan. He's not going to pick up. He knows what's coming. He can sense it. I'm just going to have to wait till tomorrow, I think.
He knows you're recording it, so.
Hi, you're through to you and Cameron. Unfortunately, I can't take a call at the moment, but if you'd like to leave your name,
I'll leave a wee message for him.
Telephone number, I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can.
I'll see him tomorrow, but I'll leave a wee
have
message.
A good one. Cheers, bye.
Brilliant. What a terrible answer for him. Hi, Ewan. Just recording Falkirk Daft just now, and you've not picked up, which is really disappointing. I'll see you at work tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to that. I just thought, you know, in this day and age, in the day of mental health, you know, it's okay not to be okay. So I just thought I'd check in with you, make sure you're all right, you know, a bit like Holly Willoughby did, you know, firstly, are you okay? But I'll see you tomorrow. I really look forward to seeing it. The Falkirk Daft listeners have been, I think you've seen a few tweets that have landed in your notifications. So listen, unlucky, mate, unlucky. I'll see you tomorrow. Look forward to it. Love you. Bye. Disappointing.
The big Saturday football show, he said he was muting social media.
Well, yes, I am not surprised. I have seen a lot of tweets aimed in his direction. It's been joyous, absolutely joyous. Obviously, in the WhatsApp group, I was relentless yesterday as well. It's been fantastic. Can't wait to see him tomorrow. Right,
Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron in 2 weeks. I mean, does life get better?
I know. Yeah, exactly. The Big Scottish, if you don't listen to the Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron, which is out every Monday, please listen to it tomorrow because I will be making an appearance, I suspect, like I did when we beat Dunfermline last week. But it's the Big Scottish Football Podcast double for the band, so delighted with that. Right, Falkirk Daft rated. Let's go for that then. Who are we going for this week? Dylan Tate got it last. It was Dylan Tate got it last week. Who's getting it this week?
For me, we wouldn't be in the game without him. So I'm going to say Nicky Hogarth. I thought the initial saves were out of this world and he kept us. He gave us the platform to then go and win the game.
Richard?
Ross stole mine, so I'll say Brad Spencer just because he just sits in the background. He just does everything brilliantly and he just gave us a platform to go and win the game. So
Brad Cruz. Do you know what? Since you were going to go for Nicky, though, we'll give Nicky Hogarth, Falkirk Daft, player of the week. So there we go. Well done, Nicky. Bumped into his mum, Jen. She was out. It was a very surreal experience. I was talking to Brian, who owns Behind the Wall, and then Jen, Nicky's mum, ran past me, and she was listening to the podcast while she ran past me and Brian, who were talking about Falkirk. It was a very surreal experience. She goes, "I'm just listening to you." And I was like, "Oh, hi." So there we go. Brilliant. Superb. Brilliant. Well done, Nicky, and you are our Falkirk Daft rated player of the week. Falkirk Daft, anyone?
Yeah,
I'll go.
Richard, don't you go, sir.
Right, I was just gonna, I'll go Stephen Naismith for underestimating us and making 8 changes.
Stephen Naismith, Ross.
A brilliant shout out, but I'm going to go for the first man who completely underestimated us, which is Mr. Ewan Cameron.
Ewan Cameron
lost it last week. And a shout out, because obviously I think I mentioned this to John on the group chat last night, the traffic getting out of the stadium was pretty bad last night, so it took like half an hour to get out. However, I bumped into, or I was sitting in the car, the window was down, and Cole Donaldson's dad, who, as we know, is a big jambo.
What end was Cole's dad in? Was he in the Falkirk end or the Hearts end?
You know, I didn't ask. However, he said it was a mixed emotions situation, but he was really chuffed for Cole and for Falkirk. And then, spookily, we're still sitting in traffic. Cole comes out. He's getting bombarded with pictures and stuff of people. And then he spots me in the car, so he comes over. And he had a few choice words about Ewan. But he said the right outcome had happened on the day, and he did confirm he is fully navy blue.
Fabulous. Love to hear that. Love to hear. Well done, Ewan. You're a Falkirk Dafty, and we'll see. Yeah, since you're a shite bag and didn't pick up your phone there, I'll speak to you tomorrow. Right, brilliant. Thank you for coming on, Richard. Really appreciate your time and for drinking Ewan's tears while doing the podcast. It's been great to have you on. Eventually, we've been trying to get you on this for ages, and you eventually come on. See, it was fine. You were absolutely fine. Yeah.
I thought you'd forgotten, so I thought I got away with it. But then,
We always get our man. If you want to be a guest pundit, we'd love to have you on as well. Drop us a line by email on pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk or slide in our DMs on Twitter or Facebook. Thank you.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue. Are you?
Every week on Falkirk Daft, we speak to a fellow podcaster or a supporter from our team just to get the kind of lowdown on our opponents. This weekend, Partick Thistle arrive at the Falkirk Stadium, probably our biggest test in the Championship so far. And on From the Draw, Lose Draw, Partick Thistle podcast, it's David Forrest. Hi, David, welcome to Falkirk Daft.
Hello, thank you for having me.
No, thanks for jumping on. We've said it, like, it's been great being back in the Championship because there's so much more podcasts as opposed to League One, so we get to speak to people like your good self about your team. So let's talk about Thistle then. It's kind of been an up and down start to the season. Obviously, you drew with Morton in your first game at home and then went over to Raith Rovers, managerless, rudderless Raith Rovers, and again, a red card probably got in the way of you going on to winning that. And in the League Cup, it was kind of up and down as well. What have you made of the season so far for Thistle?
It's been an interesting one. In terms of the League Cup, I actually wasn't too disappointed with how we did. Like, to be realistic, we only lost because we had an absolute nightmare against Clyde and conceded a fourth own goal against Clyde in the last 35 years. From a bad back pass that the goalkeeper's not got to. So it's like, if that hadn't happened, if we just had a normal game, we'd have went through easily. I mean, like the Motherwell game, it was 0-0, but like we absolutely bossed that whole game and probably should have scored. But you go into the last two games in the league, and the results have been a bit disappointing. And the Morton game was bad. It was really bad, but it was one of those where it wasn't an absolute tanking or anything like that. And you're like, all right, early jitters, you know, side needs to gel and stuff like that. Because he made some decent signings and stuff like that. And it's just a bit trying to get them sort of to fit how we want the team to play. And you're like, okay, first game of the season, not great, but you know, you'll take it. And he got to Raith Rovers. And when we heard that, obviously, the manager had been sacked, and that, you know, we were rubbing our hands going, right, good, this is it. You know, everyone's been tipping us and Raith to be the top two teams in the championship this season. And now suddenly, you know, they without their manager going into the first game really put down a marker. And we were, again, quite poor. I will say, we haven't conceded a goal from open play in the league yet, because obviously the refund was a penalty. Raith were really poor as well. It did not look like either team was going to score, to be honest, from open play. And I was quite happy about the fact that we didn't concede from open play against Raith. The penalty, obviously, it was a bit of, you know, defenders made a mistake and then it's capitalised on, and then, you know, we've tried to mop it up and just cause ourselves a whole lot of anguish. And the red card for Robinson, it was clear he was frustrated. It looks like, you know, he wasn't getting much joy all day. He lost the ball a little bit, he was getting away from him, and he just went in with the studs and an absolute horrendous tackle that is frankly reckless and a shame to see, to be honest, because I think Robinson's been quite good for us. But we're not firing on all cylinders at the moment, but there's not much cause for concern at the moment. Because, I mean, first two games, a draw at home, and then, you know, a narrow loss to the other team you think are going to be challenging for the title, it's not the worst that it could be.
Yeah. David, see on that then. So, in terms of the game this Saturday then, Is there still quite a positive mindset amongst the club and the fans then that it's doable? Because obviously it's very, very early for every single team in the league, but I take it from that confidence point of view, it's still pretty high, and you'll come to Falkirk thinking, well, listen, 3 points and that's a game changer with the league again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that we go into the game thinking that, you know, we've not been great, but we've not been abject, and we've managed to sort of be competitive with Raith and, you know, not concede from open play. I think the fact that we have signed a right back, Casper Nielsen, he's a young guy from Brighton, who looks like a very interesting player. We've given him a good deal, and it was a real out of left field signing, because usually you know what it's like, you know, in terms of, you know, you see players linked with you all the time, and you know, that'd be quite a good signing. This, no one has ever heard of this guy before he came in, but he comes in with a decent pedigree from Brighton. I think we were really hampered by the fact that we'd had Waziri Williams at right back previously. He's a good guy, everybody loves him. Right back's not his natural position, and frankly, we don't want him to be our starting right back. He is a centre back, and even then, he's probably a backup centre back for us. He does a lot around the team, and you know, it brings a lot to the squad in terms of morale and just sort of, you know, that great presence in the locker room. But he is, you know, he's not the person we want to be sort of starting up for us every week. Having Casper Nielsen come in, I think we're really excited to see what he'll do. And, you know, having an actual natural right back there, who should hopefully stabilise us. In terms of the Falkirk game, I mean, obviously your result yesterday is unbelievable against Hearts. I have a good friend as a Falkirk fan, Robbie Copeland, who works for the Record, and we were talking about it. And I get quite a bit of Falkirk chat from him. And how long is it? How many league games is it that you've not lost? You must be. I'm assuming you won.
Dunfermline away last week was our 40th, and that spans. Weirdly, it spans three seasons, David, because it counts the two league games from sort of two seasons ago, all of the league games from last year, plus the two this year. So it's a bit of an odd record that we find ourselves with currently.
Yeah, it is very peculiar, but it is one of those things where the longer it goes on, you know, it's sort of a who's going to be the one that's thrown it. And I think that Thistle would absolutely love to be the ones to, you know, kind of, you know, extinguish the fire, so to speak, there. And I think they'll be really up for it. I think it's going to be a tough game, to be honest, just because obviously Falkirk have done really well last season and have came off to a good start this season. And obviously the result against Hearts, you know, a huge boost. From speaking to Robbie, though, we both made the very good point that you're beating Hearts 2-0 is absolutely the sort of result you have before you throw in an absolute nightmare performance and get beat at home in your next
game. Yeah, we've all seen that before.
Exactly. So we're kind of hoping for that. We're kind of basing it on, you know, they'll have a lot of confidence coming in, but we want to be the sort of the people who dent your confidence there. But I don't think it's, you know, doom and gloom just yet. I think that we'll be competitive, and hopefully we just get enough. Where the week off has probably benefited us, because we've had time to bring Nielsen in and really work on the side over the last 2 weeks in training. Obviously, we'd love to be in the League Cup and obviously going through like yourselves, but I think having 2 weeks to really figure out, right, this is how we set up and this is how we changed from last season. Because our whole thing was, you know, Dylan Ball is all about forward-facing and attacking football. You know, we'll concede goals, but we'll score more than you. Whereas this season, we haven't actually conceded that many goals at all. We've conceded, what, 3 to Clyde? And I think that might be it. We beat Edinburgh City 6-0. Oh, we conceded to Montrose as well. So, like, you know, 2 games we conceded out of 6 is not too bad. So I think that having a defensive stability is something that we kind of missed over the last season or two. So hopefully that can keep us in good stead, and we just need to figure out how to score goals with it as well, which, you know, we've had a fortnight to do that, so hopefully that'll pan out.
You made a few signs. It was interesting, actually, the players you brought in. Kyle Turner, he seems like he was a really good player at County. You know, Robbie Crawford, obviously a stalwart in the Championship for Morton. Lee Ashcroft, I know he had a bit of a nightmare against Clyde, but another big centre half. And then you look at the wingers, the Logan Chalmers, Dan Mackay. You brought in some really interesting players and some really good players. How have they settled in?
It's interesting because, like, I think it was a little bit, you know, how if you go see a band and they like let the fans choose a set list and you just play all the songs the fans want to hear. It was kind of like that, because we were all like, get Kyle Turner back, get Logan Chalmers in, you know, address these sort of, you know, different things. And, you know, the targets that we wanted, and a lot of them came. And everyone was absolutely delighted by it. Logan Chalmers, to be honest, has not lit up Thistle yet. I think that he is getting a lot of stick from people already, and I don't know whether it's maybe just the sort of player he is. Maybe he's just taking a bit too long on the ball, you know, maybe not making the pass that you'd expect. But, I mean, he's, you know, categorically, he was, you know, great for Ayr, you know, before, and it's just, is a proven player at this level. But he's yet to kind of gel. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we have not had a right back. I mean, like last season, a lot of our great players, Stevie Lawless and Jack McMillan together, they made such a great partnership that was really central to what we did. So when McMillan left to go to Exeter City, that was obviously a big blow for us. And again, when we've had Wasiri Williams at right back, it's really, really tough to sort of replicate that. So I'm hoping now that we have a natural right back there that will kind of come on. Kyle Turner, though, has been absolutely brilliant. I've really, really enjoyed him. He gives us that spark, and it's just a bit more creative, and, you know, he's, you know, battling for the ball all over the place, all over the park, and just generally a lot of the good that we've done so far, Kyle Turner has been at the centre of it, and I think it's been really, he's been really, really good. Dan Mackay has been injured, and he's going to be out for, I believe, 4 months, I think they said. So, you know, he did look good. He was really good in the game against Motherwell, and, you know, had looked good in the games that he had played, but he's injured for 4 months, so he'll be out. I think us going back down to bare bones, 2 wingers for the moment is a bit difficult, but again, you hope with Nielsen coming in that him and Chalmers can really hit it off and get us back on the right track. Lee Ashcroft, I mean, a lot of people were very happy with the signing when it came up because, you know, he's an experienced defender. You know, he's played in this league, and I think that one of the key themes of our transfers has been signing a lot of players who have been in the Championship and have had experience in the Championship, because sometimes you get, you know, random rolls of the dice from all over the place. I mean, I remember when we got relegated down to the Championship in 18-19, it was really just, you know, throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. This seems a lot more concerted than we're getting the players that we want, if that makes sense. So I'm happy with that. But I'm excited to see how Nielsen and also Charlie Sayers, who came in from Tottenham, and he was a Tottenham youth guy, we signed him on a 3-year deal, which we never really ever give to people, especially to like youth players. I think possibly the expectation that, you know, Harry Milne might be off next season just because, well, he probably should be at a higher club than us. If we don't go up, then, you know, he's away. But yeah, I think that it's been hit and miss with the signings. I think some of them have got off to a really good start, but I think Chalmers is probably the one that is really integral to how we play, and he's kind of not got to grips with it yet.
Yeah. Just looking at actually the last 10 results between Falkirk and Thistle, and there's a fag paper between the two teams, like 6 draws in the last 10. There was that, obviously, when we were going through our troubles, when you pumped us 5-0. But like, I remember, like, obviously, last season we played you in the League Cup group stages and at Firhill, and that was kind of the start of, like, you know, in fact, it was 2 seasons ago now, Jesus. I remember being at that game, and that was the kind of start of the John McGlynn revolution at Falkirk, and I thoroughly enjoyed that game. But yeah, what do you think the score's going to be come the weekend, David?
I'm on the podcast where I specifically am always an eternal optimist, and I hate predicting that Thistle will lose, to be honest. I think that, again, with the fortnight that we've had to kind of really bed in and get everyone to grips with how we're going to play, we've had a bit of time to study Falkirk as well, obviously on a good run. I could see us nicking a win. I don't think it's going to be, you know, another 5-0 or anything like that. I could maybe see I'll go 1-0 Thistle.
1-0 Thistle. Ross, what are you thinking?
Like David, I think it's going to be a tight affair, to be honest. This is, for me, this is the hardest of the opening games for us. We are at home, though, and like David, we're eternal optimists. So I'm going to go 2-1 for Falkirk. I think big Brian Graham, he always loves a goal against Falkirk as well, so it wouldn't shock me. Is Aaron Muirhead, David, is he likely to play, or is he fit? Or
I think it depends, really. He has been in the squad for most games, but I think that there's a good chance that he may end up playing, yeah.
He doesn't like us. He got a bit of stick at Falkirk. That's worrying. You know, that ex-player that's going to come back and haunt you, and it will be an Aaron Muirhead penalty more than that. Is he still on the penalties?
I mean, we never really get penalties, to be fair. So I can't remember the last time that we had a penalty. But put it this way, if we get one against Falkirk, he's absolutely taking it, no doubt.
absolutely.
From what you're saying, it sounds like he'll be absolutely kicking down the manager's throat to get a game, even if he's not meant to be in the first 11. So yeah, that's a 1-0 Muirhead penalty. That's it.
Oh, God.
What are you, John? What are you going with?
John, we go for middle for Diddle, actually. I think, you know, going back to that, doing well in the cup and having that big result against Hearts, I just feel like a draw, maybe like a 1-1 or a 2-2. I don't know. It's just that it's that big result mentality, and then you go to the next league game, you're like, oh, it's a bit disappointing. But I think, I think it'll be a draw. And I think, you know what, I think I'd be happy with a draw against us. So, as you say, they've splashed a bit of cash, as have AR Wraith Rovers as well. So it's going to be, it'll be a tough game, like you say, Ross. It's definitely our toughest test so far. Obviously, their trip to East End, but we know where they're at the moment. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. I think it'll be a decent game of football. And like, but you've got that Brian Graham element that you always worry about. I mean, the man is like, he's obviously a bit older now, but he's like an absolute machine. I'd like, just so fit.
It's wild. He scored more goals every season he's been with us. So like, exponentially, he's scoring more and more goals. I think he got like 20s last season. It's utterly ridiculous.
I know.
He loves scoring against a lot of teams, to be fair. It's really like Inverness, Morton, Falkirk. He loves scoring against all of these teams. It's very funny. So, yeah, so we are kind of, you know, hoping that he will continue exponentially. But, you know, it's like his fourth, fifth season with us. He is in his late 30s. There's got to be a downward curve at some point. Hopefully
Let's
not.
Hope
like,
so.
Yeah, I know he just absolutely loves scoring goals against anybody and everybody, to be fair. But I'm hoping that, again, with the sort of the tweaks that we've made and sort of getting to grips with it over the last fortnight, he'll get a bit more service, because he struggled to get service in the last two games. So, yeah, I think that he'll probably end up, you know, getting a goal here. Well, him or Adam Muirhead, one of the two. But I can absolutely see he's very itchy peachy in terms of, like, he'll have a hot streak of like two or three games where he'll score like four goals, and then he'll have like, you know, four or five goal games without a goal, and then come back and then score a hold as well. So who knows? But yeah, he does love scoring goals against anybody and everybody.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, David, thank you very much for joining us on Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the game. Well, hopefully don't enjoy it too much on Saturday. It's David Forrest from the Draw Lose Draw podcast on Falkirk Daft.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
So that's it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. It's been a very good podcast to record. It's been two fantastic podcasts. It's been great, isn't it? It's just been brilliant. I love recording this podcast. We've done it the last year and a half. It's been fantastic. But yeah, thanks for listening. Remember, you can get us Apple, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. And tell your friends if they don't listen to it. Like, tell your mates. Go, oh, yeah, it's a Falkirk podcast. Go and have a listen to that. I had like 2,000 views on YouTube last week, which was amazing. So thanks very much. So it was about 2,500 people listen to our shite every week, Ross, so that's good to hear.
It's very good to hear. And listen, as long as people continue to listen and watch us, then we'll definitely keep doing it, because we enjoy doing it, don't we?
Right, so, exactly.
And as you said earlier, it's talking about your club, which we all love.
Yeah, let's talk about another club at the moment. We actually haven't talked about this yet. The Dunfermline statement that came out last week. The Germans are pulling out. Did you read the full statement?
I did, yes. And it was a long-winded way of saying that the fans are to blame for their
current... It was pretty much sour grapes, wasn't it? I was like, Jesus. I tell you what, though, and you know, it's Dunfermline supporters are frustrated. Me and Steve Mill have talked to you about this several times. It's like, when you see clubs like Ayr and Thistle and Wraith and all that splashing the cash for clubs Falkirk and Dunfermline sizes, who are bigger clubs... You know, it is frustrating as a supporter to see that. But sometimes you've got to be careful what you wish for, because the Germans pulling out, it seems like they had a plan in place. If you read the statement, it sounds like they had an absolute plan in place to push the club forward. But it's just the impatience of supporters, as per usual, getting in the way. So you've just got to watch. I hope we never get to the point that we don't get frustrated. Patience is virtue. Patience is an absolute virtue. I read that. And shout out to Andy Haxton from the band Parliam, who messaged me, said, I heard there's another German interested in investing. Jürgen Dünn. Jürgen Dünn.
Like it. The thing is, like, I know we have a lot of banter about it, right? I would never, ever, ever want Dunfermline to be in that bad of a financial trouble that the club's at risk, right? We love the banter. We love the Derby Dames. We want them to be, like, having bad times to a degree, but not so much that they cease to be a club. And I think, I hope... they go down the route that we've went down. I know they abandoned that to do what they did with the Germans, but hopefully they see that the right way. But they need to have patience, just as you said, because we have had to be patient to let things work the way we want it to, and for it to go the way we want it to be as well. And we have had to have quite a bit of patience for that to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I'm interested to see what happens over at East End in terms of, like, I think there's a couple of, I've heard that there's a couple of big multi, like, big previous people that have been on the board directors have got a bit of cash, yeah, that I think I'd maybe interested in buying estate. But I'll be, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. But apparently, we'll see. I mean, listen, was, he continues to get beat. I'm quite happy with that. Brilliant. Well, listen, thanks very much for watching or listening, Folk at Daft. Really appreciate it. Yeah, you can try merch, merch.folkatdaft.co.uk. Drop us a DM if you're interested in sponsorship. We have Find the Wall, we have Folk at Football Fans and Training, but if you want to get involved with the podcast, you can do that. You can drop us an email, john@folkatdaft.co.uk or ross@folkatdaft.co.uk. Get involved in the Discord as well. Loads of chat on the Discord. It was great yesterday while I was at the festival. Lots of people keeping me updated with what was going on. So thank you very much for that. All the troops in the Discord channel, which you get the link. It's just basically a forum for Falkirk supporters, really. But yeah, great. Onwards and upwards. I cannot wait to see you and Cameron in the work tomorrow. I will report back on the podcast how that went, when we will be looking also at the Partick Thistle game and looking ahead towards the game against Morton. Any final words, Ross?
Just that you and Cameron's tears were extremely delicious, and expect unexpected by it.